welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as I am beginning a new message series titled Thrive. Thrive. I don't know about you, but as I begin a new year, I'm always looking for ways that things can be better. It's a fact that as a year begins, we often hope and pray that, you know, could things be better? We hope and pray that things will improve over last year, that things will be better. So why is that? What is that about us that, you know, at the beginning of a new year, we would hope and pray that things might be better? Well, I think that is part of the image of God that is within us. He has created us. God has created us this way. We long for things to be better. We long for the world and our experience of it to be all that it can be. Amen? So I appreciate the efforts of our mayor, G.T. Bynum. G.T. Bynum wants things better for all Tulsans. In fact, in this past Thursday's Tulsa World, there was an article about a Gallup poll survey that Mayor Bynum commissioned that included 50 questions intended to measure Tulsans' sense of overall well-being. Maybe you saw the article. There were some 22,000 surveys that went out last summer. About 4,500 of them came back in. The survey results indicated, among other things, that only 50% of Tulsans could be classified as thriving. Only 50% as thriving. Now, how did they arrive at that conclusion? Well, two particular questions were asked to determine if you or I are thriving or not. First of all, if life were a ladder with 10 rungs on it, the 10th being the best possible life you could be living, where do you see yourself on that ladder today? That was the first question. Secondly, where do you see yourself on that ladder in 5 years from now? And if you saw yourself on that ladder as a 7 or above on the first question and an 8 or above on the second question, that person was designated as thriving. Thriving. The article indicated that while 50% of Tulsans are considered thriving, another 46% were termed struggling. And an additional 4% were termed suffering. Thriving, struggling, suffering. Right here in our community. Right here. I think that's some fairly amazing data to know about ourselves. And it's going to help our city and community leaders understand where to focus efforts to best help improve overall well-being among Tulsans. But it also tells me that this survey data can remind us right here in our own community, there are significant numbers of people who are struggling or they are suffering and they are in need of our help right here in Tulsa. You know, one of our 29 priorities, strategic priorities, 2019, is to be reaching more new people. Well, what would it mean to be reaching some of our neighbors who, it turns out, are struggling or even suffering, who need help on this ladder of personal well-being? I think at the beginning of this new year, God is using this data and other things to remind us that our primary mission is outside these four walls. I hope you feel that. You know that. And as people of faith, God has given us resources to help. So you might ask, well, what resources do we have to help a person who is struggling with their sense of well-being? For a person who is wondering if my life can be any different? Well, I would say we have tremendous resources. First things first, I would remind us we can offer them Jesus Christ. The basic foundation of our faith is that a relationship with Jesus Christ can change a life. Amen? A basic life can be changed. It can transform a heart. Amen? It can give a person new hope. Amen? Jesus' love and acceptance, His forgiveness and His grace can heal the brokenhearted, can lift up the downtrodden, can set free the bound up or oppressed. Offering a relationship with Jesus Christ is one of the first things we can do. And then remember this, when we come to faith in Christ, it also includes the power of the Holy Spirit. When we place our faith in Jesus, or another person does that, they or we experience forgiveness and peace with God, they or we also receive the promised Holy Spirit, God's Spirit that comes to live within us. And that Holy Spirit power enables them or us to overcome temptations, struggles, and fears. The Holy Spirit leads us or them into the truth and helps us to renew our minds and to transform our character and to even upgrade our behavior. Amen? For people who are struggling, and that may be you and I, a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ provides a pathway of hope for a new day, a new life, a new way. Amen? Amen? That is so often what people of faith, what people who are struggling with as well, need. We can offer them Christ, the Holy Spirit. We can also offer the great stories of faith from the Scripture. And these stories that we read about, that we preach about, people who are struggling can find hope and encouragement for their lives. So look at all the people from the Scripture who eventually thrived in the midst of difficult circumstances with God's help. There was Abraham, remember, who became the father of many nations. Joseph, overcome being sold into slavery. Moses led the people of Egypt, people out of Egypt. Rahab, remember, helped the spies. David killed Goliath. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego escaped the fiery furnace. Daniel outlived the lion's den. Queen Esther saved her people, and on all through the Scripture, God helps people to thrive rather than to just survive. Are you familiar with survival mode? Anybody familiar with survival mode? Have you been there? I have survival mode, and I tell you what, it is not an enjoyable place to be. It's like the doctor who called his patient and he said, I've got some bad news and I've got some worse news. The bad news is that you have 48 hours to live. The patient screams, 48 hours? What can be worse than that? And the doctor says, I forgot to call you yesterday. Survival mode. That is a tough place to be. But God wants to help us to thrive rather than just survive. And finally, I would say this, we can offer people who are struggling practical help to put their lives on a more solid foundation, to help them take the steps to climb the next rungs on the ladder of personal well-being. Maybe it's a word of encouragement. Maybe it's a meal. Maybe it's a support group or a class. Maybe it's a roof over someone's head for a week or more. Maybe it's a friendship. The possibilities are endless. The title of my new series is Thrive. And I title it that because I believe it describes the experience that God wants for us and for all the people in our community and in our world. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." God wants us to thrive. He wants us to have life and to have it to the full. So let's talk more about how we can have it. In our text from Acts, we see that Paul and Silas, they found themselves in a tough spot. This is one of those stories that I contend can give us hope, can give others hope. They had been stripped, they hadn't been beaten, they had been thrown in jail. And why? Because some local businessmen had lost their income from their fortune-telling slave girl after Paul had cast a spirit out of her. She had been following them around, and she had been yelling. She had said, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Now, the statement was true, but the way that she was going about it was creating more of a disturbance than anything, and Paul got irritated. In fact, when frustration one day, he just turned to her and he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her." And the spirit immediately left her. Now, there is authority in the name of Jesus. I hope you know that. I hope you live into that. That's a whole nother sermon that I need to preach, and I will. But Paul's amazing sign and wonder in Jesus' name in this situation landed them in a tough spot. So we read about it in Acts 16:22. So the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and to be beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And a little further, the text says that their feet were fastened in the stocks. So Paul and Silas were in a tough spot, a painful spot. They had been severely flogged, and just like Jesus had been. Remember what that was for him. Their bodies were bruised. They were torn. They were bleeding. Sometimes we too are in difficult circumstances. Sometimes we can feel flogged and beaten by life. Have you ever been there? Sometimes we create our own mess. Amen. Our own mess in our family or at work, among our friends. At other times, chaos just seems to come out of nowhere. A foreclosure notice, a cancer diagnosis, a lawsuit, a divorce. Whatever your difficult circumstances, the end result is the same: emotional and spiritual heartache and pain. As we begin 2019, in one way, all of us are on the edge of having our sense of well-being attacked, disrupted, challenged. In fact, someone has said, all of us, we are either in a crisis or coming out of a crisis or headed for a crisis. Hello? Difficulties, they come. So we don't pray that we won't have difficulties, but instead that we'll be prepared when they come. The second thrive factor that I want you to notice from this story is this: Paul and Silas chose to worship God in the midst of their pain. They chose to worship God in the midst of their pain. We read about it, Acts 16:25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. What an incredible response. So in talking about this very passage in a staff meeting one time, one of my staff members said, "I don't know if I'd be praying and singing hymns to God. Instead, I'd probably curled up in a corner in the fetal position." How would you have responded after having been flogged and beaten, thrown in prison? And yet, these two chose to worship in the midst of their pain, to worship God. They looked upward. They didn't give in. And why did they do it? What did they know? They knew the power of worship. The power of worship. You see, worship lifts the heart and soul. Worship fuels the power of faith to believe that things can be different. Worship breaks through the fog of hopelessness and despair. Acts of worship connect us to the very living power of God. If you need to be uplifted, if you need to be connected with God, worship Him in song and praise. And Paul and Silas were doing that. They were connecting. In fact, they were connecting so well that all the other prisoners in the jail were listening and being blessed too. Remember this: when we see someone whose life is genuinely in touch with God, what do? We want that for ourselves. I want some of that. There's something within us. I believe it's part of the image of God within every human being that yearns to be connected with the living God. And when we see that in others, we are drawn to it. We want some of that for ourselves. Paul and Silas chose to worship God in the midst of their pain, and others were drawn to them. Remember this. We too have a choice of how we respond to life's challenges. The gut check comes when things happen, when difficulties come, and we have to decide, what am I going to do? How am I going to respond? And at that point, it becomes a matter of character, faith, and belief. Some people respond with great faith. I can do this. God is with me. I will remain faithful. I will get through this. Others respond in fear. There is no way that I can get through this. I don't understand. I don't get it, God. In fact, I'm going to be angry. I am bitter, and I am all alone. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament, betrayed by his own brothers, sold into slavery? If anyone had to have a cause for bitterness and anger, he did. And yet he remained faithful, humble, and gracious before God. And what happened? God blessed him, first in Potiphar's house, then in the jailhouse, finally in Pharaoh's house. Talk about responding to life's challenges. Joseph did it. So I reached out to some of my Facebook friends this week about how they respond to life's challenges. Give me some input. And they did. They gave me some great input. One person said the keys responding to life challenges are faith, prayer, and patience. Another person said, don't look inward to self-pity, but upward to God. Others said, you need tenacity, a positive attitude, knowing who you are in Christ. Another person said, you cannot direct the wind, but you can adjust your sails. I like that. You can't direct the wind, but you can adjust your sails. That was some great input. We are often not in control of what happens in our lives, but we do have a choice about how we will respond. Third thing to notice from our text, in the midst of their worship, an earthquake happened that changed everything. Sometimes in the midst of our everyday faithfulness, God stuff just happens. Have you seen that? It happened to Paul and Silas. In the midst of their singing and prayer, the jailhouse began to rock. Acts 16:26 says, the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Wow! They hadn't planned on it. An earthquake that would loosen their chains, but they probably were not completely surprised by it either, because Paul and Silas had been around long enough that they had seen God work. They had witnessed his life-changing power. Paul on the road to Damascus, Silas on the missionary road. They had seen what God can do. And so in the midst of that life-changing earthquake, Paul and Silas, they said, let's just go with it. They remained open and in sync to see what it was that God was going to do in the midst of this life-changing earthquake. Remember this, God has the power to dramatically change circumstances. Amen? He has the power. One of the things that young people today want to know is this, is God real? Is God really real? And we say, yes, we want to be able to say yes. I hope you have your stories of how you can say yes. We point to the scripture, we point to biblical and church history and the voices of all of those who've gone before us. And we make the rational case for God and we talk about our own experiences. We have several ways that we could talk with other people about the truth of our faith, but the one compelling story the one that we can share that's most compelling than anything else is simply this. Let me tell you about what Jesus did for me. This is how Christ has made a difference in my life. Remember the man born blind in John 9? Jesus spits on dirt, and then he puts the mud on the man's eyes, and he tells him to go wash it off in the pool, and he does it, and he's healed. And talk about a life-changing impact. Everybody's excited about it, but the Pharisees, they're all up in arms about Jesus, and so they're trying to make light of it, and they want to discredit him. And so they haul the guy in and they grill him with all these questions, but the man will not be sucked into their schemes. His story is short and simple. He says, "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. This is what Jesus has done for me." The most compelling story that we can ever tell is, "This is what he did for me." When I was in high school, I had a high school baseball coach who spoke regularly about how God was real in his life. And I could tell his faith was genuine. He lived it in the classroom. He lived it out on the baseball field. He helped me to move from where I was to a questioning faith and a kind of a confused faith. He helped me to move across the line in faith. It always amazes me how God does his work through people, through circumstances. It's amazing the way that he works. The last thing to notice about this story of Paul and Silas, because of their overcoming faith, the jailer wanted to know how to be saved. In addition to all the prisoners, the jailer heard Paul and Silas worshiping God in spite of their circumstances. And then when they saved his life after the earthquake by telling him, "Don't kill yourself, we're all here," he was compelled to ask them more about this source of their amazing spiritual strength. He said, "How can I have more of this faith? This power that you've been singing and praying and speaking about." And so in Acts 16:29, we read, "The jailer called for lights. He rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" And I love their straightforward answer. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And so he did believe, and he and his whole household were baptized. What an amazing turn of events when you think about all of it. So Paul and Silas, in review, they came to Philippi to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they found themselves locked up in a prison instead. But choosing to worship God in spite of their circumstances, it made an impact on everyone that was there. And then an earthquake that nobody counted on happened. And afterwards, the jailer particularly wanted to know about how to be saved. Isn't it marvelous to see how God works, how he weaves his plan in circumstances and among people? And God is at work in his world today as well. His plan is still unfolding, amen? And he needs faithful people to partner with him in the work of ministry every day. So what can we do? How can we help people to thrive rather than just survive? We too can live with overcoming faith like Paul and Silas. They decided to worship God even in the midst of tough times. Man, it wasn't easy, but in the end, their faith impacted many others, and it's the same today. Remember this, our overcoming faith helps other people seek to know Jesus Christ. It's often in the midst of our most trying times that other people see the kind of faith that we are made of, and when they see an overcoming faith, a faith that doesn't back down, even in the midst of adversity, they see, you know what? God is real. And they want that for themselves. So let's pray about that together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Almighty God. Gracious Master. Loving Lord. We thank you for this story of Paul and Silas. We can relate to it. They were in a tough spot. They were experiencing difficult circumstances there in that prison, and yet they chose what we can choose. They chose to worship you, to focus their hearts upon you through prayer and singing. And their decision impacted all of those around them. Worship does that. It has a way of breaking through, of connecting us to you like nothing else. Lord, give us that same kind of overcoming faith in the midst of our current circumstances. In worship, we remember that you are our source, our strength. Lord, help us to also be attuned to your Spirit and watching for people right here in our community who might be struggling or suffering. May our overcoming faith, even in our difficulties, be an encouragement to others who are wondering, is God real? Are you really real? So Lord, help us. And it's in Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen. Amen.